With the first round of bank earnings out, what is your first trade? David Ellison is a portfolio manager at the Hennessy Large Cap Financial Fund. David, happy Friday to you here. So you just heard we talked about Jamie Dimon putting forward potentially 7 interest rate hikes this year. As someone who is invested in the financial space, does that make you more optimistic on bank stocks or less?
Well, I think, you know, 7 rate hikes would be what? This is not the Paul Volcker era. It would be what? Almost 2%. So assuming it's a 25 basis points each. But I think if it's that much, then, you know, the market's going to have a lot of trouble across the board just because the last time we did this, you know, it got beat up. So, you know, we broke open the pinata today on earnings, and the operative word is in line. And I think that's why the stocks are trading down. There's no surprises. There's nothing special under the Christmas tree. Yeah, the business is good. Credit's great. Loan demand is okay. You know, maybe a little better. Deposit flows are still good. They're making tons of money. But there's nothing super exciting. We've had a good run in the space. And so now the question is, you know, why do you own them? Well, you own them because they're safer than a lot of these other companies trading at, you know, 10 times revenues, you know. So, you know, I can buy banks at, you know, 11, 12 times earnings, and the rest of the market can buy companies at 10 and 12 times revenues. I'd rather be at 10 or 12 times earnings.
Yeah, no, I was wanting to follow up, and you know, there was some weakness in some of these reports, David, notably fixed income revenues, trading revenues. And the stocks, I think, are trading down on those results. But does that make the case for you to add more to your Apple position, which you also own?
Well, I think, you know, the first comment is that, you know, the Wall Street income, as I call it, you know, it's wonderful for the brokers and it, you know, pays them a nice bonus. But it's a low PE business, and it always has been, at least in my 40 years of working this business. So if we're going to focus on bond trading, we might as well own a hedge fund. You know, this business is about credit. It's about spreads. It's about expenses. It's about planning for the future to compete against, you know, the Apples and the Blocks and the PayPals and whoever else decides to come along and go public with a fancy ticker symbol. So I think that's the story of the future of these companies. And I think, like, for example, JP Morgan today, you know, they said, well, expenses are going to be higher. And that's what's driving a lot of the concern about the company, not, you know, in a big, big way, but in terms of why the stock is down today. It's not some of the other fundamentals. And hopefully they're making good investments in the future, and that will bear fruit longer term. You see Citicorp divesting businesses, which hopefully will benefit them in the long term. Wells Fargo still trying to get out of the penalty box, and that's a self-help story. So I think from that perspective, there's a lot of good things to see here. The bad news is stocks have had a great run. Now, when it comes to Apple and the other fintech stuff, I mean, the valuation, I mean, Apple's not a valuation problem, but a lot of these other guys are. And so the question is, if the market, you know, sort of lives on earnings, valuation, and conviction, you know, the banks have earnings, they have valuation to hold it up. But the question is, a lot of these other stocks, people are losing their conviction. And that's going to create a correction. We've seen a significant correction in these fintech financials across all of the other, including all of the other, you know, technology names that are out there that I can't, you know, even begin to understand. But so there's a lot of damage going on out there, which I think is healthy for the market overall, especially if you're looking at a fund manager who cares about valuation and price, which has sort of been my story for, you know, many, many years. I buy value. And so it's not been a value trade. And maybe we'll get that going forward.
And maybe it'll be nudged along by the increases in interest rates. David, I got to come back to that JP Morgan, to that Jamie Dimon comment. 6 or 7 interest rate increases this year. I mean, What is he talking about? Like, does that headline not make you scratch your head a little bit?
I to be completely honest, I know it's a Friday and maybe people won't listen, but you know, here's a guy that everybody knows in the financial business. He's been around a long time. He's roughly my age. He's made a ton of money. Runs a great company. You know, he says stuff like this, which to me on the margin is irresponsible. why are you creating a situation where you're telling the market, well, we could be 8 rate increases? I mean, that tells everybody, you know, this could be, the market could be a disaster if rates go up 8 times. And look what happened in 2018. You know, they raised a little bit and then completely reversed because the market croaked. So I don't understand why he's doing this when he knows that everybody's listening. You know, very few people are going to listen to me. And I'm saying that's an irresponsible comment, but nobody's going to care. But I think if I was him, he'd be like, you know, you got to take it back a little bit. I mean, let's not go crazy with this stuff. Maybe you believe that, but sometimes it's important to, you're running a big company that people are listening to. You got to be a little careful about what you say.
David, is there anything that you see in the data out there right now that would suggest there's room for that many rate hikes this year?
Well, I think, you know, I think part of the problem with the market is rates. Part of the problem with the stock market is rates are too low and there's no alternative. So this sort of, you know, I say the market's got a name and it's Tina FOMO. And the problem is that if you sell your Apple stock or you sell your JP Morgan, you end up going into a money market fund at Fidelity or Vanguard or BlackRock that yields 1 basis point. That's your alternative. And if your alternative is 1 basis point, or if you buy the 6-month T-bill, it's 25 bips, that's not an alternative. So that keeps the market where it is, and it keeps it relatively high relative to history. And to take rates up that much, like he's suggesting, how far is the market going to have to fall? You know, if you drive the 10-year to 4 or 5%, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but let's make that as an assumption. How many people are going to sell the market and buy the 5-year, 10-year? A ton of people. Trillions of dollars are going to flow into a 5% 10-year. And it's going to come out of the market where all these companies, you got tons of companies that aren't making money trading at multiples of revenue that the banks are trading on earnings. So you saw that, you've seen the data where you've got, you know, a record number of companies that are trading north of 10 times revenues in the S&P. Okay, all that money is going to come out and flow into higher bond yields. So, you know, that's the issue, is that you've got to prick the balloon slowly. But again, I don't think the Fed is going to take the market down because they think inflation is too high. I just don't think they're going to do that. The market, in a sense, to me, 2008 was the bonds, it was mortgages, it created a real recession and created real job loss. And now the market is the new, you know, bond market. The market is the new sort of CMBS, RMBS, no doc liar loan. That's what the market, you take the market down 20%, the economy is going to have a serious recession because there's going to be massive wealth loss and people are going to get scared.